So let's remember all of our missionaries. And I also want to encourage you, if you haven't yet, to go to Podbean. This is a app that has podcasts. And so you can get all the messages from the church this year. Go to Podbean. It's very easy to sign up and download it to your phone. And you can search Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. All the messages from this year are on there. And then this past week, I also started another podcast. This is a daily devotional, and it's published every morning at 6 a.m. And right now, what I started is going through Psalms chapter number 23. And so you can go to Podbean, sign up, search Blessings of Liberty, and you can get that daily devotional. I'm trying to keep them around 20 minutes, so it's a Bible teaching, but it's devotional in its character. And so I wanted to encourage you to sign up for that and tell somebody else about it. So let's pray, and then after I pray, Chloe's going to come, and she's going to sing this morning. So let's remember her in our prayers as well. So let's all pray together right where you are. Pray with us. Pray for the message today. I'm really excited about it, and I pray that God would speak to our hearts. So let's pray. Father, we come today. We need your help. We need your touch. Our country's in trouble. Our world. We pray for your healing hand, but we pray most of all that you would lead, guide, and direct us through what is going on. Give us wisdom. Be with our church members, especially those that are sick, those that are going through trials and troubles. And Lord, there's a lot of things going on. Financially, people have needs. Spiritually, physically, Lord, we pray for each and every one. We pray for each and every one that listens in to the broadcast, that watches live, that listens to the podcast, all these different avenues to get the Word of God out. I pray that you'd be glorified in it. Help us today. Speak to our hearts. May the Holy Spirit of God just minister to each and every one. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. Be with Chloe as she comes to sing. And I pray that it would be a great blessing to those who listen in. We ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. All right, Chloe, come on.
Sometimes in life, the road gets rough, the path gets dim, fear settles in, and you don't know just where to turn or what to do. I'm glad I know the one above who comforts me with his great love. Jesus, my Savior, is there when I'm in need. Oh, I'm in need of a Savior. I'm in need of an anchor. I'm in need of the one who died for me. In the dark, he has sought me on the cross. There he bought me. I'm in need of the one who died for me. You sit and hear of all God's done for wicked men. He sent his son, but now you wait a better time. Just not today. Oh, friend, don't wait. There's not much time. He's coming back. There's no deny. Just call upon him. My friend, you're still in need. Oh, I'm in need of a Savior. I'm in need of an anchor. I'm in need of the one who died for me. In the dark, he has sought me on the cross. There he bought me. I'm in need.
Thank you. I really appreciate her doing that. Put her on the spot every week and say, you gonna sing for us tomorrow? And she picks out a little song and sings for us. So I really appreciate Chloe doing that for us. And it's been a great blessing and a great help to me. And so it's ministered to my heart as well. So once again, we want to welcome you today to the Sunday message for the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. And I hope you'll get your Bible and turn with me this morning to the book of Genesis chapter number 7. Now, I have already put the title to the message on the screen, and so I trust that you're able to see that. And what we're going to preach from this morning may be just a little bit different, but it's something the Lord laid on my heart, and I believe there's some great truths from God's Word that we can learn today. So you pray for me that the Lord would help us and speak to our hearts. Genesis chapter number 7, I always say this, get your Bible, follow along in the Bible. It doesn't matter what I say, it matters what God's Word says, and I really want you to see these truths today from God's Word. So Genesis chapter 7, verse number 1, the Bible said, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." Verse number 4, God told Noah, "For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth." Then I'm going down to verse 10. "And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth in the 600th year of Noah's life. In the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights." I want to read verse number 12 one more time. "And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights." Now today is going to be a little bit different in the way I usually preach. I call this a bookmark message. And the reason I call it a bookmark message is because I've got a lot of bookmarks in my Bible, and I'm going to turn to a lot of different places today, and I want you to turn with me and see those. Now, I usually don't preach that way. I preach what's called expository preaching. We'll go to one passage of Scripture, and we'll go down through the verses, and word by word, and verse by verse, and this is what it means. But today, we're going to go several different places in the Bible. In fact, 5 different places in the Bible that we're going to look at. Now, I want you to notice in verse number 12, and the verse number 4 also had this, but the number 40, "And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights." Look at chapter 7, verse number 17. "And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted above the earth." And then if you look over to chapter 8, verse number 6, "And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made." And so we find the word 40 days and 40 nights over and over and over again. Now 40 in the Bible, all numbers in the Bible mean something. And I'm not going to get into all of that today, but just to state the fact, if you study the Bible, study the Scriptures, numbers in the Bible have a meaning. And the number 40 in the Bible is the number of probation. The word probation means this, the act of proving. A trial, a test is taking place. And there are many other places in the Bible that we could go to show this. But 40 is always the number of probation. When you find the word 40, the number 40 in the Bible, there is a test that is going on. There is a trial that is going on. Someone is on probation. Now, what led me to this message? I looked up the word quarantine in the dictionary. the word quarantine in the dictionary. And the word quarantine comes from the Latin quartus, which means a fourth. And so quart means four. There are four quarts in a gallon. There are four singers in a quartet. Quarantine is actually a compound word. There are two words there, the word quart, which means four, and the word square, to square off, is what that means. And so the word quarantine comes from two words. It means this, properly, now this is in the dictionary, properly the space of 40 days. Now, where that come from in modern language, why 40 days, I do not know. But it's very interesting to me, the space of 40 days. And it means this also, to prohibit from interaction with a city or its inhabitants, to compel to remain at a distance for 40 days on the account of real or supposed infection. Now, we live in America, but not just here, all around the world. Everywhere you look, you see that word, quarantine. Quarantine. I've just noticed that so much, and I've been thinking about this and praying about this message for probably about 3 weeks now, and it really just didn't come together till yesterday, and Kim and I went on a walk, and it sort of come together in my heart as I was walking and thinking about it, and I told Kim, I said, I think I know what I'm preaching on tomorrow, and so I began to think about it and write some things down. But everywhere you look, you see quarantine, people talking about the quarantine. And I mean, it's just become common everyday language. Now, a definition of the word quarantine is 40 days. And I'm not making a comparison to say, you know, this is going to last for 40 days. But let me tell you, it is. It's already been 30 days. It's already been a month since we had church. Can you believe that? And here I've been preaching in my living room and on my patio and up in my study. And I was thinking this morning, you know, when we were working on the house this past fall and painting and remodeling and fixing it up to move into, I'd have never thought in a million years I'd be preaching in the living room because our country was under quarantine. But here we are. And our whole nation is under quarantine, and it's going to be 40 days. I mean, I don't see us being back in 10 days to church. I don't see the nation being opened back up in 10 days. This is going to last 40 days, and even more than that for most people. But I want to say this morning, we are not the first people to be quarantined, and I'm going to give you today some Bible examples of people that were quarantine. Now, if we come out of this the same as how we went into it, we are very dull. We are spiritually dull. We're not paying very much attention. If we come out of this thing and say they open up the country and they say, you know, all right, go back to your lives. If we are not changed because of this, we are so spiritually dull that that I doubt there's any hope for us. This ought to change us. This is unprecedented. This has never happened on this scale in the history of the world. It is time that we, as God's people, examine ourselves. Like Peter said, 1 Peter, where he said it, that the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. We need to examine ourselves. We need to be asking ourselves, why is this happening while we are quarantined? So the title to the message today, Quarantines in the Bible and Lessons We May Learn from Them. Some quarantines in the Bible. We're not the first people to be quarantined. Noah was the first person to be quarantined. Noah on the ark, it rained 40 days and 40 nights. Let me say, first of all, when we think about Noah in the Bible this morning, what can happen in 40 days anyway? Well, I'll tell you one thing, the whole world can change in 40 days. And it has before. And this is going to change the whole world as well. The whole world can change in 40 days. Chapter 8, verse number 6, look what the Bible says. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Now, I don't have time to preach all that is in this passage of scripture or when it's talking about Noah here, but quickly I want to say that the world that Noah and his family eventually re-entered. Now, they were on the ark more than 40 days and 40 nights. In fact, chapter 8, verse number 3 said, and the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days, the water abated. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. That changed the whole world. And it took the rest of that time for the water to drain off of the earth, for land to reappear. But when they re-entered the world that they left when they got off the ark, everything in the world had changed, and it only took 40 days and 40 nights. The whole world was different. Chapter 7, verse 11 says, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. It wasn't just that it rained, but the Bible said the fountains of the deep were opened up. Water not only came down out of the sky, but water came up out of the ground. Now, the world we live in today is scarred all over the planet by the great flood. Now, I know a lot of people don't believe in that, and they say, oh, there's no such thing as a worldwide flood, and that's all imaginary. Well, if you don't want to believe in that, that's fine. But if you'll open your eyes, you will see evidence of a worldwide flood everywhere in the world you go. We live in the Appalachian Mountains. I've been in the Rocky Mountains. I've been in the Swiss Alps. You go anywhere in the world, you see these great mountain ranges. You go to the Grand Canyon. You go to the floodplains. That's what it's called in mid-America, the floodplains. This world carries a scar that shows us, if we'll really open our eyes, that the world we live in came to be through a violent, violent process. The mountain ranges, you go up on the mountains, you see these big tears in these rocks, and they've been that way for thousands of years. A great violent event took place. And what took place was the flood. When Noah got off the ark, it looked a whole lot different than when he got on the ark because of the great flood. And so when he got on the ark, there were multitudes of people. When he got off, there's nobody. Everybody died. That's what the Bible says in chapter 7, verse 21. And all flesh died. Verse number 23. And every living substance was destroyed. And I'm quickly going to say this. You say, why did that happen, preacher? Well, in case you don't know, chapter 6, verse 5, the Bible said, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And God said, mankind is so bad, we're going to have to start over. And that's exactly what they did. The whole world started over with Noah and his three sons and their wives, their family. Now, I'm not saying today that the coronavirus is from the Lord or that it's the judgment of God. I'm not saying that, but I will say this. God does judge sin. And I'll tell you, we live in a very sinful world, no doubt about that. But I will say this. When we come out of this thing, our whole world is going to be different. It's going to be different than it was in January, than it was in February, whenever it was, and we were just going on like normal and usual. Everything will be different because of this virus. People are going to be different socially. They're already different. Have you been to town a little bit, maybe been to pick up groceries? And I'm telling you, people are acting different than they were. People will congregate together differently. Economically, our whole world, financially, internationally, trade and commerce between different nations and laws to come and everything. Everything's going to be different. It doesn't take 100 years for the world to change. It'd be good for us to get this into our heads. The whole world can change in 40 days, and it already has before, and it's going to change again. When Noah was quarantined, the whole world changed when he got back into society, we might say. When they finally got off the ark, everything was changed. Now, I don't know how, what lies ahead. I'm not prophesying about the future or anything like this, but the whole world can change. And let me say this. Here's what does not change. When you study about Noah and the ark, do you know what the ark is? The ark is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. That does not change. Hebrews 13:7 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm glad during these world-changing times that I can say that my soul is safe inside of the ark of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great ark of safety. What a great blessing that is. I hope today and pray today that you are in the ark of safety. You are in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the greatest need. That's the greatest need that all of us have today. That's the great thing of all the uncertainties in the world. He is the one certain thing. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. Boy, you need to be in Jesus today more than anything else. This quarantine ought to get us thinking about eternal things. This world can change so quickly. Number two, I have to quickly move on this morning. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter number 34. So I already have my bookmarks I was telling you about. And so I'm going through my bookmarks. Exodus chapter number 34. I'm already there. I'll give you just a moment to turn there. I want you to see what the Bible says. We're preaching about quarantines in the Bible and lessons we can learn from them. Moses was quarantined on the mountain with God and for 40 days. We're going to read that in the Bible. Exodus chapter 34 and verse number 27 and 28. Here's the second 40-day quarantine in the Bible. Exodus 34 and verse number 27. What happened to Moses during this time, during this 40 days? Well, here's what happened. Moses received the Word of God. Moses received the Word of God. Exodus 34 and verse 27. And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words. For after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. He received the Word of God while he was there on the mountain with God. Now, let me ask you today, how are you spending your quarantine time? How are you spending all this time? People said just a few months ago, oh, if I had time, I'd do this. Well, you got plenty of time. I was talking with my mom on the phone this morning. We was talking about something next week. I said, I'll check my schedule. I'm pretty busy. And she was laughing, but we were laughing about that. Most of us have more time on our hands than we've had in a long time. How are you spending this time? I'll tell you what a lot of America is doing, and I've not seen this, but I've heard people talking about it and seen references to it. Are you spending it watching The Tiger King or whatever that is? A friend of mine, we were talking about that the other day. I don't think that's what we need to be consumed with during this time. Watching The Tiger King, catching up on all the shows on Netflix, cooking. I've saw a lot of social media posts about cooking, and honestly, we've been eating pretty good, praise the Lord. You know, I'm not saying you shouldn't be eating or anything like that. A lot of people are spending their time drinking, and a lot of people are spending their time moping around and you know, complaining about how they wish we could get back and all like that. But how are you spending your time? What could you do in 40 days? You could read the whole Bible. You could certainly read the whole New Testament. You could certainly read the book of Psalms. You could read a chapter out of Proverbs every day. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs. That's one for every day of the month. You could start a habit. You could start start something in your life right now that would change you for the rest of your life if you would be spiritually awake and see, you know, what does God want me to learn during this time? My personal Christian life never changed very much until I became very serious about God's Word in my life every day. Every day I begin to make God's Word a part of my life and prayer a part of my life. Moses went up on the mount for 40 days and 40 nights. He spent that time with God. David said in Psalms 119:105, he said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Moses spent 40 days. He was quarantined. That's what the word literally means. Properly, a period of 40 days. No interaction with the city or its inhabitants. He was up there on the mount with God for 40 days and 40 nights, and God sustained him. He did not eat during that time. He was fasting during that time. Look what the Bible says in verse 29 and 30. "And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not," he did not know this, "he wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him." Moses got so close to God during that time period that his face began to shine different. And when he came down, they were afraid to talk to him. They said, "Moses has been with God. There's something completely different about him." You say, "Well, that's Moses. That's in the Old Testament." Well, Psalms 34 and verse 5 says, "They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed." They look unto God and their faces lit up. The Bible said in the book of Acts chapter number 6 that Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost and his face shone as an angel of God. When he preached to those people, when he talked to those people, they said, "Boy, there's something different about him." If we come out of this thing and we're no different, I mean, this ought to make us different. This ought to make us closer to God. This ought to make us examine our relationship with the Lord more than anything else that's ever happened in our lives. He was so much with God, it changed his face. Let me tell you, boy, if we'd learn to walk with God during this time, it would change us, and we'd go back to work different people than we were before. It's something we need to be really, really thinking about, praying about. What does God want to teach us during this quarantine that we are all under? Moses received God's word. He came down different than when he went up. Are you going to be different after this? Are you just going to be the same? Do you know some people will be worse? They'll be worse than they were before. Man, we ought to pray, "God, let this make me better. Let this make me different. Let me walk with you like I've never walked with you before." Moses received God's word. Number three, I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Jonah. Now, Jonah's a little hard to find. Jonah is towards the end of the Old Testament, and it's a very small book. It only has four chapters. So I'll give you just a moment to find the book of Jonah. If you find Amos and Obadiah, you're getting very close. Joel, Amos, Obadiah. If you get to Micah, you've gone too far. But I want you to turn to the little book of Jonah. And we see another 40 days. Now, Jonah, you talk about being quarantined. Jonah is the one that ended up in the whale's belly. And I referred to that in preaching just a few weeks ago. But Jonah, what happened as a result of Jonah's quarantine? Jonah saw one of the greatest revivals that's ever been on the face of the earth. The whole city of Nineveh turned to the Lord because of Jonah's quarantine. And again, this is interesting to me, there's the mention of 40 days in the book of Jonah. So I hope you found your place there. Jonah chapter number 3, verse 1. And this is after Jonah's experience with the whale. And remember, God told him first, I want you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah said, you know, in his mind, I'm not going to Nineveh. And he went the other way. And there was a great storm. And Jonah was thrown off the side of the ship. And the whale swallowed Jonah in 3 days and three nights. And the whale vomited him out on the land. And boy, nobody wanted to go to Nineveh more than Jonah did. He hit the ground running. And he went to Nineveh. In chapter 3 of Jonah, verse 1 said, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, why 40 days? Why would Jonah say 40 days? Why not 20 days? Why not 30 days? Why not, I'm going to give you 6 months. I don't know exactly why, except this. When you the word of God is consistent, and 40 is a number of probation. 40 is a number of proving, a trial, a test. And so here, they're on probation, 40 days. Jonah said, you got 40 days, and at the end of this 40 days, the whole city is going to be overthrown if you don't listen to my preaching. How interesting that is. Now, did they listen? Yes, they did. Look what the Bible says in verse number 5. It said, so the people of Nineveh believed God. That's the key right there. Why did they have revival? Because they believed God. They believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth. And that is a sign in the Bible of repentance and sorrow. They got serious about this thing. They put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them, from the king right on down to the poorest among them. They all believed God. The whole city believed God, and there was a great revival. Now, they did not ridicule Jonah. They did not mock Jonah. They did not try to silence the message that Jonah was preaching. Nineveh was a great city. I mean, it would have taken him a long time, and that's part of it. You know, he didn't just get on Facebook and everybody knew. He had to go through the city. It took a long time just to get through the city. It was a huge, huge city with thousands and thousands of people in the city. And he went and he preached and they believed God. And when they believed God, there was a great revival took place in the city of Nineveh. A great, great revival. Now, let me say, do you think we're believing God in this day and time? We're not. I'm talking about as a whole, as a people, as a nation. The Christian voice, the Bible voice, the preacher's voice many times is ridiculed and mocked and made fun of. And you know, I don't want to hear it. That's what we find in this day and time in which we're living. I had a news clipping several years ago. And there was something going on. There was some storm or a drought or something. And there was an editorial in the Winston-Salem Journal. And I cut it out and I carried it for a long time. I had it in my notes. And I even mentioned it on the radio then. I was preaching on the radio. And it said something like this. The editorial piece said that they wished that Christians and the weather would get a divorce. And it went on down in the piece of paper and it said that they were tired of every time there was an earthquake, every time there was a hurricane, every time there was a drought, every time there was a whatever, that Christians came along and said, you know, you need to listen. God's trying to get our attention. And they said in the editorial, you know, I'm just tired of hearing about that. Christians and the weather need to get a divorce and lose each other's number. That's the prevailing attitude even today. People have the attitude, I don't want to hear nothing about God. Did you hear what Governor Cuomo up in New York said just this past week? He was talking about the virus and the pandemic, and the numbers were beginning to look a little bit better, and they think, you know, they're getting ready to have some success against this thing. And he said, and when somebody told me he said it, it was hard for me to believe, but I went and watched it, and sure enough, he said, it wasn't fate that done this. It wasn't God that done this. He said, we done this. He's taking credit for this. I'll tell you what, that's a sad, sad attitude to have. God pays attention to what we say. Don't you think that? But we need to listen to what the Lord is saying. For years and years, Christians have prayed for revival. And let me tell you, we have not had revival. We're not having revival in America, and we have not had revival in America in years and years and years. You know, I thought about this. We cannot have it the conventional way. We're trying to have it the conventional way. We meet together. We have a little bit of prayer meeting. We have some preachers come. We say, okay, we're going to have revival. We're going to get together in our churches. We had revival plan coming up in a couple of weeks. Three churches going to get together. Hadn't done that in a long time. I don't guess we're going to get to do that. Not the conventional way. I'm glad the Lord is not tied to the conventional way. But maybe if we can't have it the conventional way, wouldn't it be good if we could have it this way? You know, we may not be able to meet together the conventional way right now, but that doesn't mean we can't pray. That doesn't mean God cannot send revival. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is still in the book. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. We'll forgive their sin. We could still have revival, but we're going to have to get serious about prayer. And we're going to have to believe God. That's what they did in Jonah's day. Quickly, let me go on. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter number 4. Jesus began his earthly ministry after a probation of 40 days and 40 nights. The Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever heard that Jesus was 30 when he began his public ministry? Well, he was. But there was a ignition to that ministry up until that time period. We don't, you know, what was he doing? The Bible only tells us about his birth, and then it tells us about something that happened when he was 12 years old, and then we don't know anything else until he's 30 years old, the beginning of his public ministry. In Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 1, the Bible said, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered." 40 days he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. He was quarantined. He was there alone, had no interaction with anybody else. Look what the Bible says when it was over in verse number 13. "And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about." That was the beginning of his public ministry. Now, his temptation was different than our temptation in that his was direct. I mean, Satan came to him and tempted him one-on-one. But his temptation was the same in that it involved the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's how Satan comes and tempts us even today. 1 John 2:16 says that's all that's in the world. Why should the devil change his tactics? They work so good. What gets us in trouble? The eyes, the flesh, and old pride. And that's still what we have to battle with today. Well, let me show you how the Lord Jesus Christ was victorious over that temptation that came. If you look in verse number 4, look what it says. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. How did the Lord Jesus have victory over Satan? He quoted the Bible to him. That was a quotation of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Satan said, aren't you hungry? Turn these breads into stone. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. He used the word of God. Same thing in verse number 8. The Bible said, and Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. It is written. He used the word of God. Look at verse number 10. Same thing. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee and in their hands. And so the word of God. And verse 12, and Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Satan used scripture to try to get Jesus tripped up. Jesus used scripture back. What came in his life to try to destroy him actually ended up making him more effective. And this thing that we're going through, this quarantine that we're going through, it may destroy us, or we may say this is going to kill us, but if we will look to the right source, guess what? We can come out stronger, more effective, more powerful on the other side than when we went into it. Boy, we need that. We need that in our churches. We need that in our individual Christian lives, that we would come out better. More loving, more compassionate, more in tune to what's really important versus what is not important at all. More compassionate to our fellow man, more thankful for the blessings that we have and that God has given unto us, more serious about how quickly life can change. If we could come out better on the other side, wouldn't it be worth it? Now let me show you one last thing. You got to go back to the Old Testament. Go back to the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 19. So I'm going to go to my last bookmark, and I saved this for last. I really want you to see this. 1 Kings, chapter number 19. So a lot can happen in 40 days and 40 nights. 1 Kings, chapter number 19. While you're finding this, what can happen in 40 days and 40 nights? What happened in these quarantines in the Bible? Well, the whole world was changed in Noah's day. And in Moses' day, his quarantine, he received the word of God. He came down from the mountain. His face was shining. Jonah saw one of the greatest revivals the world has ever seen. The city, they believed God. They had a change of heart. The Lord Jesus began his earthly ministry after that great temptation in the wilderness. But let me show you one more. The Bible in 1 Kings chapter 19. Now, Elijah is a great prophet of God. He's had a great victory in chapter number 18 over Jezebel's false prophets of Baal. Jezebel was the king's wife. She was the queen. She heard about it and she said, send a messenger and tell Elijah, I'm going to kill him for that. That's where we come to in 1 Kings chapter number 19. Verse number 3. And when he saw that, when he saw this threat from Jezebel, he arose and went for his life. He had to run away. She's going to kill him. And came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. Elijah is so disheartened, so discouraged over the news from the queen that he runs into the wilderness. He sits down under a juniper tree and he prays, God, just let me die. Boy, I'm telling you, he's in bad shape. You ever been there? Oh, things are so bad. I just wish I was dead. That's how Elijah was. He said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life. For I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. Look at verse 7. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. He is one of three people in the Bible who fasted for 40 days. Elijah, Moses, when he was on the mount, if you remember, we just read that. The Lord Jesus, when he was being tempted in the wilderness, 40 days. And here the Bible says that the angel of the Lord came to Elijah, woke him up, told him to eat, told him to drink. And the Bible said in verse 8, he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Now that is a miracle. It is a miracle. Now what did Elijah experience during this 40 days? Elijah experienced God's miraculous provision in his life. Now, I cannot imagine not eating for 40 days and 40 nights. It's hard for me to go 4 hours. It's hard for me to go 40 minutes. I come here, you know, through this path I'm standing on all the time. Kim says, you know, 30 minutes after supper, what are you doing back in the kitchen? It's just a habit. Just think we got to eat all the time. Elijah went 40 days and 40 nights. That was a miracle. God sustained him. He was traveling during this time. He experienced the miraculous provision of God. And let me say, there are many people during this time, during this quarantine, that are experiencing and that are going to experience that God is able to sustain. He's able to meet our needs. He is not bound by circumstances. Praise the Lord for that. He knows what you need. He's able to meet our needs for 40 days. He's able to meet our needs for longer than that. We serve a God who can sustain us outside of what it looks like or outside of what the circumstances are. Now, here's the thing I want you to see, and I'm almost done. Here's the sad part. Here's the sad part. Look at verse 9. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Now here's the sad thing. Elijah was no different than he was before. Before this miraculous provision in his life, he's whining about his life. In verse number 4, O Lord, take away my life. He's laying under a juniper tree. He's all sad. He's all discouraged. He's heard the news. He's heard what the queen has to say. Oh, they're going to kill me. God, just let me die. And then the angel of the Lord comes to him, feeds him, gives him something to drink, gives him strength for 40 days and 40 nights, and he goes in the strength of that one meal. He gets out on the other side, and here we find him again, and he's in a cave. And the Lord comes to Elijah, and he says, Elijah, what are you doing here? And guess what? He's still whining and crying about my life. I've got that underlined in verse number 4, my life. And I've got it underlined in verse number 10. They seek my life to take it away. Listen, as long as all you're concerned about is your life, you're going to be like Elijah. Poor me. I'm so disheartened. I'm so discouraged. I'm so, wanting to give up, wanting to quit. That's how Elijah was. And the Lord's done miraculous things in his life already. And here he is. Here he is, just talking and whining about his life. Guess what the New Testament teaches? Until my life becomes his life, my life isn't worth anything anyway. We are called to lay down our life. We are called to take up His cross and follow Him. And until you really do that, you won't find meaning in your life anyway. You'll just lay around your whole life in a cave under a juniper tree saying, poor me, poor me. Listen, we got to come out of this thing different than how we went in. Don't let this 40 days, don't let this quarantine time period go to waste. Come out different. Come out better. Seek God's will for your life. Seek the ark of safety, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if people don't get saved and we don't have revival and we go through all this for nothing, we're dull. There's something wrong with us. Oh God, change us because of this. If we don't let this change us, sad. We're just like Elijah. Go through a hard time and come out on this other side feeling sorry for ourselves. That is exactly what happened in Elijah's life. And I don't have time to get all into it, but it wasn't long. Elijah goes off the scene. God's done with him. And Elisha, somebody else, comes along and takes his place. Let me say in closing today, don't be the same. You're not the first person to be quarantined. A quarantine is a probation. It is a time period of 40 days. And it is a time of testing in our lives. Don't come out the same. Lord, we just come today and I thank you and I praise you. And I'm so thankful for God's word. It is powerful. It has exactly what we need for the day and time in which we live. And Lord, you're able to touch hearts and lives. Lord, please, please convict and save people and give revival out of this. Let us not come out the same as how we went in. And we'll thank you. I ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. So thank you so much for listening today. I've heard a lot of people saying I'm catching two or three messages every Sunday. I get to hear you and my preacher, and hey, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. That's good. But listen, take it to heart. Let it change you for God's honor and for His glory. Now, tune in Wednesday night, Lord willing. We'll be in our study in the book of Galatians. I'm really enjoying that. If anything goes on, happens, we got our phone tree and we'll let everybody know. But let's be much in prayer for one another. And thank you once again for listening in today. Have a good day. God bless.